when they call and they're like, hey, we need uncross match blood stat in a cooler, send it down to the OR, kind of gets you like nervous that things can kind of escalate and get worse.
Hi, I'm Helen Pitlick, and this is Bloodworks 101, the podcast that inspires you to give time, money, or blood. Donors give their blood selflessly, without knowing who will receive it, only knowing that it will help someone out there. That's kind of the whole deal, providing life-saving transfusions for anyone in need. Your blood is the gift of time and hope for another family. And if and when someone in your family is in need, blood will be available. The reality is that one in four of us will need a blood transfusion at some point in our lifetimes. As donors, that unknown is something that we live with. We're fine with it. We just want to help. It's all about community. But admittedly, it is really nice when you can learn a little more about the specific recipients. I wanted to share a recent message from a donor in response to one of the donation-delivered emails from Bloodworks, telling this donor that their platelets went to a patient at Seattle Children's Hospital. I seldom cry, but this has made me so happy. To help save a child's life is precious. This is one reason why I was so excited to talk to Dom Carrero about his job. Dom works in our transfusion service lab at Overlake Hospital. He and his colleagues partner directly with Overlake's doctors and nurses to match patients with your donations. The blood they need to get through surgery, trauma, cancer treatment, and other life-threatening emergencies. Dom and his team are a direct link between our inventory of typed tested blood, your donations, and the patients who need it, or at least their medical care teams. I want to share his story with you today because, as a donor myself, it made me feel even more connected to Bloodworks' life-saving mission.
My name is Dominic. I'm a transfusion services laboratory technician, and I work at Overlake Hospital. We take care of a lot of patients with a variety of different things. We have emergency room, lots of surgeries, and a very large childbirth center. We run type in screens to ensure that we can give life-saving blood in case of emergencies or even just platelets or plasma or other products that can help their quality of life. The type in screen is essentially just the patient's blood type and antibody screen, so that way we can make sure that we get the safest blood possible to the patient. We'll do a number of tests to make sure that we can accurately figure out what they have that's, you know, different from other people, like whether it's an antibody or something like that. And we'll make sure that we can match that and then also test the blood that we want to give the patient against the patient's own blood to make sure that there's no reactions. And that's pretty much how we ensure that patients are getting the safest blood possible. The testing is pretty much just a panel of cells that we use, red cells, that we will use the patient's plasma in like a gel card to test to see which ones react and which ones don't. And based on those panel results, we can kind of break down and see what antibody it is that's reacting and what isn't reacting. So that way we can, you know, make the best determination of what antibodies they do or don't have. Every donor that we get, you know, it's not the immediate testing to do like the special like antigen testing and stuff like that. But when we do antigen testing on a unit, or phenotyping, some people call it, we do enter that into the database. So that way, every time the donor donates blood, we already know what antigens to expect. And obviously those can change over time, just depending on the donor, but it gives you a really good idea of what blood you can use in our fridge. So I could do a search and be like, hey, I need KEL negative blood, which is like a popular antibody, is anti-KEL. And if I do that search, it'll pop up all the units in the fridge that are KEL negative previously. So then it helps me be able to find that unit, test it to ensure it that it is negative, and it just saves a lot of time.
Dom doesn't work directly with patients themselves, but he can kind of get to know them through chart notes and talking to their nurses and providers. And some patients stand out more than others.
You know, it's just a routine day for us. We were getting a lot of surgery cases. It was pretty normal until like around 10:30, 11-ish a.m. They had a scheduled surgery for the, I believe is the myocardial infarction and coronary disease.
Myocardial infarction is the medical term for a heart attack, a total or partial lack of blood flow to heart muscle.
So they were planning on getting surgery as it was, but things weren't supposed to progress so quickly overnight. And that's kind of how things got out of hand. Overnight, the patient's blood pressure was dropping. SpO2 was dropping, which is just like, you know, oxygen level throughout the body. And they were like, this patient is declining quicker than we can anticipate, which is like pretty crazy to read in notes. Like normally they don't really mention that stuff, but they were really concerned. So they were going to do like just a handover for the patient, like just get prep the patient, hand them over for ECMO for Swedish.
ECMO stands for extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, a form of life support that involves a machine that acts like your heart and lungs. It pumps the patient's blood outside their body, that's what extracorporeal means, oxygenates it and removes carbon dioxide, rewarms it, and then sends it back in. ECMO allows a patient's heart and lungs to rest and heal in cases of extreme respiratory or cardiac illness or injury. The machine itself can damage blood cells, so patients on ECMO often need donated blood.
So that's what they were preparing for. But overnight, the patient had gotten much more critical, went into like cardiac shock, and it was very out of proportion compared to like what they were expecting with his MI and coronary disease. And then I think at like 10:30-ish, the OR had called us and they were like really freaking out because the patient didn't have a type-in screen with us because they weren't anticipating doing the surgery here. They wanted to still transfer to Swedish, but the patient was going into shock. They had to do the surgery on the stretcher because they were trying to transport the patient to Swedish and the patient was too critical. And the surgeon was like, we need to, you know, stabilize the patient literally on the stretcher on their way out. So that was pretty crazy too. We had to really work with the OR in order to make sure that we got the safest blood out possible in like a timely manner. We gave out uncross-matched blood first, you know, working with the OR, and we were able to get that type-in screen and then do cross-matched blood afterwards. Everything worked out and the patient was, you know, able to recover and get sent over to Swedish for their procedure. Overnight, it just shows how crazy things can get. And was just happy that it went well. We don't really like to give out uncross-matched blood. That's like TSL tech. That's what you really want to avoid doing just for safety reasons. So it was a little bit crazier, you know, when they call and they're like, hey, we need uncross-matched blood stat in a cooler, send it down to the OR. Kind of gets you like nervous that things can kind of escalate and get worse. But as the case went on and I talked to, you know, the nursing staff and the circulator who's giving the blood, we had a good plan. So started to feel a lot better as time progressed. The plan was like, we have two uncross-matched units of blood for them that they may need, but they're going to send over a type-in screen so that way we can get cross-matched blood and get them the safest blood. So the plan was to use the uncross-matched blood in the emergency, but the priority was to get cross-matched blood. I think the patient got like 7 units, if I remember correctly, which is quite a bit for the time that he was here. Working with the OR, it's like really a lot of communication. There's a lot of things that the OR is thinking about and that us as a blood bank are thinking about. You know, like we need the type in screen. We might need a second verifier of their blood type. But working with the OR is just making sure that we have all these checks and balances in place. So that way, if the patient does need anything, we're aware and we can react quicker. It's all about communication. I have been with Bloodworks for 3 years and some change. I started off in the military. I was in the Navy. I went through lab school through the Navy, and I worked at Naval Hospital Oak Harbor. I was the blood bank supervisor there for about 3 years. And then when I got out, I knew I wanted to, you know, transition to civilian life. I didn't want to be in the military anymore. I was looking into working at Bloodworks. I really wanted to work for Bloodworks. We had worked with them for like special blood that we needed with antibodies. We always had to use Bloodworks, so I thought it'd be cool to work there. And ended up getting a call from the supervisor at Overlake for Bloodworks and interviewed and, you know, got the job. Yeah, I love working with people and like different nurses, physicians. I just getting to know each other, and it's really fun. Really nice to be able to really see a lot of the physicians and surgeons and actually get to talk to them and meet them in person. Seeing them directly face to face instead of, you know, just sending things out and talking over the phone. I think that's like one of the best things about working in a satellite lab at the actual hospital. A lot of things are just kind of routine, and you get to know a patient or like get to know of the patient through chart notes and talking to providers and nurses. And then, you know, it's just once you're done with that case, you move on to another one. You know, there's more patients every day who need help.
Thank you for listening, and thanks to Dom for sharing his story. Make your next appointment to help a patient like this one at bloodworksnw.org/schedule. We'll see you next time on Bloodworks 101.